Good afternoon. I'm going to try that again. I want to say good afternoon to me, but y'all missed it. So good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Wow. I feel much more welcome now. Thank you so much for that. It's a little different coming here in the afternoon. It seems like we almost have to readjust ourselves a little bit. This is not something that we would normally do. On a Thursday afternoon, and so I greatly appreciate all of you that are here this afternoon. I'm sure that you all had other things that you could be doing, but you chose to come here, and it would be a little hard standing up here if there was nobody out here. I wouldn't be standing here, actually, so thank you so much for coming. I want to share something with you this afternoon that is maybe a little bit different for a relationship conference. As we were singing here, as Lester was leading that song, and we all get to heaven, I was reminded of a time back in my childhood when I went to a little country church, a little white church, a very rural area. And one of the pastors there was an older gentleman, and he often would call himself just an old country preacher. And I loved to hear that man preach. And often when he got up to preach after we had gone through the singing and all those other things that we would normally do on a Sunday morning, he would get up, and he was a little bit of a singer. He probably wasn't the best singer in the world, but it didn't bother him. He would get up there, and often before he started preaching, he would lead a couple songs. And one of his favorite songs was The Windows of Heaven Are Open. The blessings are falling tonight. I don't know how many of you have heard that song or if you've sung that song. But he would lead that song, and after we would maybe sing a little bit of it or whatever, he would stop us, and he would say now, and he would often have a stand, and he would say, now I want all the men to just be quiet, and I want the ladies to sing. And so the ladies would sing that song, and he would stand there and just kind of lean on the pulpit, and he would just kind of look up in the sky. And he often said, that just must be what it sounds like in heaven when the angels sing. He so enjoyed that. And I've often thought about him and that he had a view of heaven, and many times he would express that he can't wait to get there. I just can't wait to go to heaven because it's going to be so much better than what we have here. And today I believe that he is there. I have no doubt in my mind that he's there where he was longing to go. And there's a little bit of a story about this topic. This is not a real long topic. I'm not going to drag this out this afternoon. But as we were getting ready for conferences this year, I had told Jeremy that I would try to do two topics, take some of the burden off of him. And I came up with the first topic pretty easily, and the second one I struggled with a bit, and I kept praying about that God would bring something to me. And God did. And I began to think and dwell on that topic. And as we left for Christmas break, we always shut down for 2 weeks over Christmas and New Year's. And as I went home, I felt pretty good about where I was at in preparing for the conferences this year. And when I leave Freedom Hills Ministry and I go home, I literally leave everything behind me, which is a blessing from God that I'm able to do that. And as I went home for Christmas break, that's what I did. It all stayed there. And 2 weeks later, I got in my car and I drove back to Freedom Hills Ministry. And as I was driving there that morning, I was thinking about the upcoming events, the things that are going to be happening. And I immediately thought about the conferences because they were starting quickly. And I immediately began to think about the topics that I was going to speak on. And I thought about unity right away, and then I started to think about the second one, and I realized I couldn't even remember what it was. It was totally gone. It didn't bother me too much because I thought, well, it'll come back, or maybe I'm not supposed to talk about it. But it never came back. And I told Jeremy, I said, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not supposed to do two. I don't know what the second one is. I can't remember it. And as time went on, I started to get a little uneasy about it, and I spent quite a bit of time praying and asking God, what am I supposed to do? Am I not supposed to have a second topic? I don't know what I'm talking about. Could you bring that back to me, or could you give me something else? And one morning, I was heading towards a ministry, and a lot of times as I'm driving there in the morning, I'm praying in the car, and I was praying, and I was getting a little desperate, and I said, God, just could you give me something? Just tell me. And a verse came to my mind, and these are the words that came to my mind: let not your heart be troubled. And immediately I felt peace come into my heart, because I realized that God had control of this. Whatever it was, God had control of this. But a couple minutes later, I realized I still didn't have my answer. And I said, God, I would like an answer. I understand that you have this, but could you give me an answer? And it seemed like God said, just keep going. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And it seemed like God said, talk about heaven. And so this afternoon, I almost said tonight, but this afternoon, that's what I want to do. So I have a question for you this afternoon. I would like to ask you this afternoon, how many of you here — I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, but I want you to wait — how many of you here believe in heaven? How many of you here believe in the heaven that the Bible talks about? The place where the believers, the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that have a personal relationship with Him, are going to go someday, where we're going to spend eternity, a place that is more beautiful than anybody here can ever imagine. How many of you today believe in that place? If you do, would you please raise your hands? Thank you. Thank you for believing in heaven. You know, that's not always an easy place to believe in. There are people that would scoff at your belief. There are people that would say there is no such thing. But I'm blessed by the fact that today you believe in that place. If we're going to talk about heaven, I think there's another place that we also need to talk about, a place that maybe we would rather not talk about. But I want to mention it this afternoon. And I want to ask you a question also about this place: hell. I want to ask you today if you believe in hell, the hell that the Bible talks about, the place that the unbelievers, the ones that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, are going to go, where they're going to spend eternity, a place of torment, a place, again, that we probably cannot imagine how bad it is. How many of you believe in that place? Would you raise your hands? Thank you. I'm again blessed by the fact that you believe there is a hell. There's a lot of people that do not believe in hell. They don't believe there's any such place. They don't believe that a merciful God would send anybody to a place like that. So we have just talked about two places: one that is amazing and one that is terrible. And we have all agreed here today that we believe in those two places. And I want to, for the purpose of this afternoon, I'm going to pretend that I can just come out and I can sit beside one of you. And I am now part of this audience. And I'm somebody else up here, and I'm standing here and I'm looking at all of us. And we just all agreed that there's a heaven and a hell. We said we believe what the Bible teaches about those two places. And I'm another person, and I'm here looking at myself, and I'm looking at each one of you. And I'm going to say something to you today, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but I have a hard time believing that. I have a very difficult time believing that we believe there's a heaven and a hell, like it talks about in the Bible. I have a very difficult time believing that. You see, our life expectancy here on earth is not very long. In fact, I did just a little bit of research, and I did discover something about Canada, and I told Jeremy we may want to move here, because in the United States, life expectancy is around 79 years. Now, I don't know what you guys are doing up here, but you're about 82. I told Jeremy it might have something to do with Oreo cookies and ice cream. I don't know. For whatever reason, but life expectancy, whether it's 79 years, whether it's 82 years, it really doesn't matter. What I'm wondering is today, if you look at 79 years, 82 years versus eternity, how does that stack up? I don't know where I thought I was going to go with this, but I actually got a calculator out, and I thought, I wonder if I can figure out a percentage of 79 years to eternity. The calculator almost started smoking. There's no way you can figure that. It's like nothing versus eternity. Does anybody here have any idea how you would explain eternity to somebody? How do you explain eternity? What is eternity? Somebody asked a young man one time, how would you explain eternity? What is the length of eternity? And he thought a little bit, and I thought this was a very interesting answer. I have no idea where this came from. But he said, if you would take a mountain, and you're going to make this mountain, and you would go straight down as fast as a human being can possibly go. I don't know what the method of locomotion would be, but let's say you're in a speeding car, and you go straight down for an hour, and then you come back up to where you started, and you go straight up for an hour, and then you go out each side for an hour. So you have this huge mountain that you've created as far as you could travel in all four distances for an hour. So you have an enormous mountain. And he said, one time, every 25 years, a little bird comes, sits on that mountain, and rubs its beak to sharpen it on that mountain. One time every 25 years. By the time that mountain goes away, you would have one drop of eternity. We can't begin to explain or to understand how long eternity is. Now, 79 years, we understand that. 82 years, we understand that. I don't know how old everybody is here today. I'm 51 years old. Subtract 51 from 79. Maybe you're here today and you're 20 years old. And you're saying, if I ask you, I'd say, well, how long is 79 years? Oh, that's a long time. Blink twice and you'll be my age. That's what seems like happens. And when we start to look at 79 years, the time we have here on earth versus eternity, it's like nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. And so when I stand here this afternoon and I tell you, as I'm looking at us, I'm having a hard time believing that we believe in heaven and hell as the Bible talks about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? How much value are we putting in these 79 years? How much value are we putting in the fact that there's a heaven and there's a hell? Think about that for a minute. Think about your life. Are you living like you believe there's a heaven? Are we living like we believe there's a hell? And when we take the 79 years or the 82 years that we're going to be spending on earth, how are we dividing that time? It's not that the 79 years is not important. Very important, because it has everything to do with where we're going to spend eternity. And not just us. What about the people around us? They are also going to spend eternity somewhere. What does the Bible say about hell? Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 14, 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Everlasting fire. Smoke. Torment. Now I have to believe that there is nobody that you know in your life, no matter what your relationship is like with them, that you want to see go to that place. That picture that we just had up here. I don't care who it is. There is nobody that you know that you want to see go there. There are people that you know that you would do anything. I believe that you would say you would do anything to keep them from going to that place. And yet, we don't really live like it, do we? Are we really living like that? We see those people every day. What's the Bible say about heaven? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We have no idea what heaven's going to be like. We read about it and we use our imagination and we read Revelations and we think that maybe we have an idea. You know, for many years as I grew up, I heard about heaven. And I got the impression that heaven is going to be a place where I'm going to play a harp. And I'm going to stand around the throne of God with the angels. It's kind of my vague picture of what heaven was. And I remember at some point not being all that excited about it because playing a harp didn't sound all that exciting to me. And maybe that's the picture that we have gotten when we think about heaven. How many messages have you heard preached on heaven? How many times have you heard somebody talk about heaven? One of the last times I remember hearing something about heaven was one of our pastors went through the book of Revelations. I'm not really a Revelations guy. I'm just going to admit that. I've not spent a lot of time in the book of Revelations, but I thoroughly enjoyed that when he went through Revelations. And he did his best to explain it. And he painted a bit of a picture of heaven. And I enjoyed that. But if we really believe that heaven is where we're going to spend eternity, shouldn't we get excited about it? Shouldn't we want to go there so much that I want to reach out and I want to touch the hearts of everybody around me and bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ so they will be there too? We have 79 or we have 82 or maybe we only have 20 years. We don't know what our life expectancy is. But where is our focus in this limited amount of time that we have here on earth? What are we focused on? Where are we spending our energy? Are we giving the first fruits of our life? Are we dedicating ourselves to reach out and touch people? This is a little bit of a continuation, maybe, even of what I talked about last night. We talked about unity last night. There are people out there that have never heard the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We run into them every day. There are neighbors and there are friends, there are brothers and our sisters, they are our fellow church members. There are people in our churches that have never experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That may shock you, but it's true. I remember many years ago, I was at a church service at the little country church I was speaking about. We had a special service. I think it was a singing group or somebody came in. It was something a little different for our church. And after the service had come to a conclusion before they ended it, they had an invitation, and it was something we didn't see a lot in our church on Sunday mornings. But they gave an invitation, and there were a number of people that responded. And I remember one person that responded. He was a guy a little older than I was. I had known him almost all my life. From a little boy on up, At that point, he was married, had a couple of children, looked like an awesome Mennonite couple. If there was church, they were there. They dressed right. They looked right. They said all the right things. That morning, that man responded. It's okay. I don't know what that means. You can respond for a lot of things. There was something going on in his life, and he responded, and they were praying with him and the other people that had responded. And then after those prayers were over, they really did something that was out of the mold for our little Mennonite church. They said, we would like to invite the people that responded to give a testimony. What did you respond for? You know what that guy said? He said, this morning, for the first time, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I remember sitting there as a teenage boy. I said, what is wrong with this picture? This was a young Mennonite boy that grew up in a good Mennonite home. He went through instruction class just like I did. He was baptized just like I was. He was taken into church membership just like I was. He got married and he had children, but he never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, ever. That's the only way that we're going to get to heaven. Those people are around us. There are many times that it looks like everything is right in life because we're great performers. We put on great performances. We do what is expected of us. And nobody ever asks us. I had a church leader sitting in my office one day. And I have promised God that every person that comes through my office will get this question about salvation. This was a church leader. And I looked at him and I thought, I can't ask him. How can you ask a church leader a question like that? But God would not let me go. And I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I finally pushed everything aside on my desk and I said, I'm sorry. But God is telling me that I need to ask you about your salvation experience, your personal relationship with God. The man pulled his chair up as close as he could get to the desk. He took both elbows, he leaned up on the desk, got as close to me as he could, and he said, I'm so glad you asked because I don't know. This is a church leader. Nobody ever asked him. Those people are all around us. If we really believe what we say we do, that heaven is real and hell is real, we need to ask the questions. We need to be reaching out and touching people's heart and making it safe for them to open up and share with us. We have got 79 or 82 years to do that. Some of us have a lot less than that. There is not one single person here that is guaranteed tomorrow. But you have the moment that's right in front of you. Do we really believe that heaven's real? Do we really believe that hell's real? This morning, I want to do something a little different. I am praying this morning that we can get a hunger for heaven that will light a fire inside of us that will change the way we live. I'm going to ask if we can turn all the lights off here this morning. I know this is not nighttime. It's not going to get all that dark in here. It doesn't have to be. That's fine. But I would like for each one of you to simply take a little journey with me this morning and let your imagination loose. And don't worry about doing that. There's nothing that you're going to imagine that is going to outdo what God can do. I want to show you some pictures this morning, and I realize these are just visuals that somebody's idea of heaven is. But I want to walk you through what heaven might be like. And I want to ask that you just let God speak to your heart this morning and think about heaven perhaps in a way that you've never done before. You've lived a full life, and now your 79 years are up. And you're laying in a bed, and you have family and friends gathered around you, and your breathing is becoming increasingly labored. It seems like your lungs will not pull enough oxygen in. And you hear friends and family talking around you, but their voices begin to fade. Your eyes begin to close, and the things of this earth are getting dim. And as the darkness begins to slide across your view of this earth, a light begins to beckon you. And as earth slowly slides away, you become pulled towards this light that just seems to beckon you. You see a flight of stairs that seems to descend up into the clouds. There's something strange about that light. You've never seen a light like it before. It's warm and it's cool and it's pleasant all at the same time. You begin to walk up those stairs, and as you get to the top of the stairs, you see a magnificent gate that just seems to open up into infinity. You can't see the beginning and you can't see the end. You've never seen anything so beautiful in all your life. You're walking, but it doesn't even feel like you're moving. Somehow you reach that gate and it's wide open. It's always open. And slowly you walk through that beautiful golden gate. You've always wondered what heaven is really like. You've wondered, is it just a city? Is it a land? What's heaven actually like? And suddenly in front of you stretches the most beautiful view that you've ever seen. You've seen mountains before, but you've never really seen mountains like this. You've seen flowers before, but you've never seen colors like this. The aroma from the flowers seems to fill the air, and the light again is absolutely perfect. It seems like everything that you look at, the light finds and shines in iridescent colors that you've never seen before. You've seen water before, but you've never seen water like this. Water that reflects colors, but yet that is so crystal clear that you can look straight to the bottom and see beautiful fish slowly fanning their fins as they swim around. You bend down and you get a drink, and you never understood that water had flavor before. It's the best water you've ever drank in your life. As you're walking along the path, you notice that you're coming to another magnificent gate. A gate that's made out of a single pearl. You've never in your life seen anything like that. You stand looking at that gate, and again, you find yourself moving, although it seems like you're not even walking. And you walk up to that gate, and it opens, and you step through, and you see the most beautiful city that you've ever seen in your life. It glistens and it sparkles. Words can't describe what you're seeing. You don't know any earthly words that would describe the beauty that your eyes are looking at. You see a person walking here or there. Nobody seems in a hurry. There seems to be a slow, soft music that fills the air. As you stand looking at that city, all of a sudden you realize that somehow you're seeing inside those rooms in that beautiful place. And suddenly you know what's inside. And it seems like you walk down a hallway and you look through an open door and there's a table. And somehow you recognize people. People that you never knew, but you just know who they are. And there sits King David. And beside him, his son, Solomon. And that must be Luke, the physician, the great writer, sitting down at the end of the table, and he's talking to the Apostle Paul. And there's a very interesting man sitting beside Paul, and suddenly you know who that is. That's the third man on the cross that Jesus took with him to paradise. And they look up at you and they smile and they seem to know you too. And you walk on down the hallway and you look in another room and you recognize the people in that room. There's your little sister that you lost at a very young age. There's a brother and an aunt and an uncle. There's your old next-door neighbor that used to come over and help you every time you needed a hand. There's the pastor at your church that married you. There's your cousin that you were so close to. And there's Dad. And there's Mom sitting beside him. Everybody's smiling and everybody's happy. You watch as Dad gets up out of that chair and he's not limping anymore. You've never seen him look so good. You felt happiness before, but you've never felt what your heart feels like now. For the first time in your life, absolutely everything is perfect. You realize that your back doesn't hurt anymore, that you're not limping, that you're not tired and you're not fatigued, that there's no mental stress, that you're not depressed. Everything is absolutely perfect. And the door does open to that city, to that mansion. And you see Jesus and the angels. And as you're looking at Jesus and he's holding out his hands, you feel a tap on your shoulder. And you turn and you look in the eyes of someone that you don't recognize. And they say, "You don't know me, but I just want to thank you." And you say, "For what?" They say, "Well, you're the reason that I'm here today. Because in your 79 years on earth, you believed in heaven. And that changed the way that you lived. And one day you reached out and you touched the heart. of a poor old man in a grocery store. And you shared Jesus with him. You never saw that old man again, and you don't know. What you didn't know that day was that he had a son, and I'm that son. And he shared Jesus with me. And I just want to thank you, because you're the reason that I'm here. And your new friend looks up and he points and he says, go ahead. They're waiting for you. They've been expecting you. Jesus wants to talk to you. And you walk towards the most wonderful person that you've ever seen, into the kindest eyes and the warmest arms that you've ever felt. And Jesus wraps his arms around you and holds you tight. And he whispers into your ear, welcome home. Welcome home. Friends, if we really believe there's a heaven and a hell, could we please start living like it? God has prepared a place for those that accept the gift that he's offering us. We all know people that aren't ready. Let's change the way that we live. Let's live like we believe what the Bible says. Let's reach out and touch the hearts of someone that one day will thank us in heaven. I'm going to ask Lester to come up and just lead us in maybe one verse of that song that he led at the beginning. I thought that was so appropriate. I want to thank you for listening, for caring, for being here this afternoon. May God bless you as you go out and you touch somebody. Thank you.